T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Look, if the worst two-pick scenario comes up, the Warriors get, I think, 6 and 14. And like we've alluded to before, like Ray sort of alluded to talking about Draymond, there's a good chance one or both of those would get packaged if that's where they end up. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, they were to make those picks. Right now, the NBADraft.net mock draft has them at 6 and 14 taking Scottie Barnes, the sort of point forward out of Florida State, and Zaire Williams, the super high-level high school prospect who slipped a little bit because he played at Stanford.
Then he went to Stanford.
Yeah, and the other name I've seen at 14 a lot is Franz Wagner.
That would not interest me, but let's focus on the more positive Zaire Williams thought. Those are two really interesting young talents that I think can both help a little bit, right? Like, there are interesting players down to about 20 in this draft. And, God, I thought this last year, too, but the more I think about it, the more convinced I am that the upside to trading these picks for the alleged veteran help is not what people think it is.
That veteran help needs to be the most, I don't need to worry about the rest of that guy in his career. He will roll out of bed, give me 20, and no headaches.
Right. Or if it's not 20, like whatever it is you think you're getting, it's got to be the perfect fit of the perfect version of a veteran. Otherwise, you are throwing away just the rarest of opportunities to secure your future while still competing today. And I don't see the Warriors franchise doing that. It's not smart. And the odds on... I mean, it's easy to say, don't waste Steph's prime. Make sure you get veterans in here now.
The prime is over. It happened.
Well, that, but right. But forgetting that dumb part of it, because it is dumb to say that when he won 3 titles, but forgetting the stupid part of it, even if we call this Steph's prime, there's a fine line between not wasting his prime and screwing your own future for very little gain now. Like, the odds that you can find the deal that gets you to, oh, we're a much more serious championship contender than we were with those two draft picks. I just don't know that it exists. And if they find it, I'll be super impressed and in favor of it. But I tend to think that taking two pretty good young players, both of which will be available, even if you're just picking 6th and 14th, it just sounds like the better option to me.
And if you think about it too, and I know this is really stretching truths to make it sound even sexier, aren't you getting a third first-round pick kind of in James Wiseman as well?
A little bit.
You know, I mean, yeah, he was there last year, but he wasn't.
And aren't you kind of getting a big 20-plus point-per-game free agent if and when Klay Thompson is back on the floor full-time? Like, I understand they don't want to be filled with young guys that can't help them in a playoff scenario. I do. But I also understand this is a long-term business as much as it's a short-term business. And the short term looks pretty good anyway.
You want to get a bunch of B-plus rookies is what you're after.
Kinda.
I was trying to be funny, but I failed.
Right. By the way, the reason why Ray brought that up is because James Wiseman was talking with Monty Poole on the Warriors podcast over on NBC Sports, and he gave himself, well, I'll just let them explain it to you.
When you look at your rookie season, what kind of grade would you give yourself?
I'd say probably like a B+. I guess probably like a B+. Just I say it just because, like, due to injuries and stuff, like me getting injured, but like that's part of the game. But I say I did pretty good. Like, I had a lot of ups and downs, but most of them was like positive, and I actually learned a lot this year. So I say a B plus.
So what would it have taken for you to give yourself an A?
Just play the whole season, just get as much experience. So I most definitely say a B plus.
I'm not going to deny James Wiseman a happy grade for himself in such a frustrating year. Obviously, he's going to be positive about who he is and where he's going. And good, we want that. I saw an article that I thought, like, hey, I've been waiting to read that all year. Somebody wrote that watching the Warriors lose their last two games of the year was a really hard thing for James Wiseman to do. Like, he was like, if I were out there, I would have been able to help them. It disappoints me that I was not on the court. And the quote was, James Wiseman was livid that he couldn't help the Warriors at the end of the year. James Wiseman was livid. I had not seen that sentence anywhere about anything yet. Good. I think a little livid is exactly what he needs to add this offseason, which is why Serbian bear wrestler coach is perfect for him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you define livid, but
you think you would, of all the people in the world.
No, like, but I mean, I think disappointed is probably a better, I mean, livid. Livid is you're walking around your house, throwing stuff against the walls, just to hear the sound of the broken glass.
Frustrated. Frustrated is the word.
He may have been livid with frustration.
And I don't think you can be livid with frustration.
You sure could be. And I'm not going to say he was breaking glass against all of his walls, but I can totally see a world where he was pacing his living room being like, I would have blocked that. And maybe he's wrong, but still, I like the attitude.
Yeah. That's the thing.
I'm with you.
I wanted to see James Wiseman squint his eyes and get pissed off.
Just a little.
And I didn't really see it once.
And maybe that's a matter of, you know, you need a certain level of comfort before you can bring your lividity to the court. I apologize.
Yeah.
But, yes, get fired up, James. Get fired up.
Especially when you hear Klay Thompson like this.
Master plan, 2022 NBA champs. Man, I miss hooping. I meant that when I said it's nothing like the finals, yo. You got media from all over the world. The center of the basketball universe. There's no more I can say, so baby, be mine.
Definitely baby be mine.
It is baby be mine. Yeah, it is baby be mine. We finally got it.
And by the way, lividity was definitely not the word you wanted to use.
No, no, I did that one on purpose, though. Lividity is dead people.
It was
a play on words. Lividity is the gravitational pooling of blood.
Yeah.
In a dead person.
That's right.
And I don't think you want that out of a draft choice.
No, folks who watch any Law and Order are well aware of what lividity is.
This body has been moved.
Exactly.
It's not pooling. The blood is not pooling as it should. Speaking of pooling blood, can we talk a little bit? Well, that's taking it way too far, because there has been no blood pooling in this Bucks Nets series. But if P.J. Tucker had his way, like, he'd cut, tackle, like, bag it, tag it, sell it to the butcher in the store if he could with Kevin Durant. P.J. Tucker talks about guarding Kevin Durant. We've seen them nearly kiss. We've seen a bodyguard nearly inserted into a situation. It's been a little frisky between the two. P.J. Tucker says that's what you get.
Me and Kevin fight every year. Like, I've guarded him every year in the playoffs. Go to State, Oklahoma City, it doesn't matter. We, every regular season, playoffs, I love guarding him. I enjoy it. He's the best scorer I've ever seen in my life. I told Rick Barnes on his visit when he was a junior in high school, he's going to be the best player I've ever seen in my life.
That's right. They're both Texas guys, too.
Yeah, and I read a story that he was the host for KD's recruiting visit.
Well, nailed it. Way to bring him in.
Yeah, brought him home.
Yeah, P.J. Tucker obviously has a ton of respect. I had forgotten how much actual on-court playoff big game history the two of them have together.
Yeah.
There is a lot there.
Yeah, and because they're both, like, strong-willed people, they're always going to be in each other's face. I mean, that's the pregame handshake. So, you know, when they were getting, you know, into each other's grills, that just looked to me like, oh, this is normal.
It's playoff basketball, man.
Yeah,
that's good stuff. That's what we're here for. The toughness, the rivalry, the immovable force against whatever it is. I don't know that P.J. Tucker is quite at that level anymore, but he gives that level of effort.
look, it's the sheepdog and the wolf clocking in. We're all going to, I'm here to eat the sheep. I'm here to protect the sheep. We can be friends off the clock, but we both got work to do.
Let's go.
PJ Tucker says he's ready. He's going to lay down his life for this.
It's the playoffs, man. Like, I don't know what people think. Like, I'll die out there. Like, I'm living my dream.
So the Rockets, the Bucks Twitter account tweeted that quote.
Mm-hmm.
Juan Toscano-Anderson quote tweeted it and said, same, bro.
Oh, boy.
That's our guy. Our guy, Juan.
I'm rocking with Juan T.
That's what I'm talking about.
Aren't we all? Pull up.
I bet you Juan's at Angel Island right now.
He pulled up.
He pulled up for sure.
Why wouldn't you? I mean, the salmon are running.
My floppy flops. Hey, salmon season. 8 days, y'all. 8 days till salmon season.
You've been warned by Clay Thompson himself. 8 days till salmon season, everybody.
Stinson Beach meetup.
By the way, if I tell my wife about that, she's a week from now, we're going to be eating salmon fillets. I just know it.
Nothing wrong with that.
Not
that's why
guy?
God made nah. Safeway.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you need a pizza that night.
Wow.
It's not a big salmon fish guy.
Fish in general or just salmon?
Well, here's the thing. It's funny. I like sushi more than I like fish. Does that make any sense?
A little bit. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't like cooked fish.
Huh.
Depends on how they're cooked, though, doesn't it?
But there, I haven't, you know, if you macadamia nut encrusted enough and make the fish to the point where that isn't even healthy anymore, that's the piece of fish I'm interested in.
Yeah.
Okay, but I mean, that can be done.
That is still fish, technically.
I mean, one of the best fish I've ever had was barbecued tuna.
Interesting. Like, just like a steak, like a tuna steak.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Now, did someone pick out the pin bones for you?
Oh, I never came across a bone, so...
Yeah,
I presume they did.
Barbecue tuna, hot tuna, fish references that we're just letting out there. We're not talking about it all, by the way.
Come on, ladies. Come on, ladies.
I won't even. It's just, let's get back to it.
There's no time for the remix.
I just looked up. There are a couple of other instances, and Matt pointed out one, where one team got two ridiculously high picks, and that was Ralph Sampson and Rodney McRae with Houston. The other one, this is hilarious to me, and it will piss you off, which is even better. Milwaukee had the 1-3 picks in 1977. The number 3 pick was Marcus Johnson.
Mm.
The number 1 pick was Kent Benson.
Kent Benson.
Oops.
Great college player,
look,
Kent Benson.
It happens to the best of us,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I guess the thing that strikes me is that when you have two picks that high— inevitably, one turns out to be not nearly what the other one was. Like the year that Larry Bird got drafted sixth, the Celtics also had number 8, Freeman Williams.
Oof. Quick note.
My favorite character on The Wire, by the way.
Well played. We've got...
You mean Lester Freeman?
Yeah, he does. There's a couple.
I'm just working with what you gave me, Ray.
He is probably the best. James Wiseman... is getting a lot of love on our text line as the centerpiece of a Zion Williamson trade. And we should just, no, it's not happening. Yeah, look, if you could trade the picks and Wiseman, or even the picks and Wiseman and Wiggins and Oubre for Zion, you would absolutely do it. But sadly, the Pelicans would not.
Zion Williamson has one of the best career scoring averages ever, like 75 games into his career. Why would the Pelicans do that?
You would have
a better chance of being able to trade for all of Bourbon Street.
We'll take the French Quarter.
Yeah.
Wiseman for the French Quarter, sure. Wiseman for Zion, no.
I got another one of those high pick things that you'll really like.
See, you're in the rabbit hole.
Yeah. I'm in the rabbit hole now. 1975,
ooh.
Atlanta's got 1-3. The number 1 pick, David Thompson.
Sure. He's good.
Yeah.
Skywalker.
The number 3 pick, Marvin Webster.
He's not good.
He was, however, the author of the greatest quote in sports history.
Really?
This is unquestioned the best ever. Oh, no. It was Marvin Barnes.
I was going to say, I have a feeling you're thinking of Providence's Marvin Barnes.
Yeah. Marvin the Tire Iron Barnes.
Yes. Yes, the Tire Iron.
Would you please share with us greatest quote in sports history?
Marvin Barnes was playing with the Spirits of St. Louis in the ABA. They had a game, I believe it was against Virginia, one night, and they were getting on a plane the next morning to go to Memphis. And the plane was leaving at 8 a.m., and because of the time change, it was landing at 7:58. Marvin Barnes refused to get on the plane because, and I quote, "I ain't getting in no time machine."
That's fantastic.
Is that not the most incredible thing? Okay, a couple of other, while we're here, a couple of other things. My dad, who was around his age and at Brown at the time, he was at Providence, so in the same city, and in the play basketball, so like was in the circle of basketball stories. One of the incredible stories about Marvin was that the first time he paid someone to take the SATs for him, the guy he paid got a 600. And then it's just there's story after story like this. And the tire iron story, I'm trying to find the specifics because I don't have... Here's a good one. He was part of a gang that attempted to rob a bus, but was quickly identified as he was wearing his state championship jacket with his name embroidered on it.
It's just... Some people, life of crime is not for you.
No.
I say he's an idiot.
And especially if you're that good at basketball, a life of crime is not for you. But the tire iron story is a good one to look up as well. There's a lot of great Barnes stories.
No life of crime would be needed if you actually won $1,000 right here and now, right? Splash for Cash Contest. Text the code word PAPER to 72881. PAPER, 72881. Brought to you by your local Toyota dealers. Let's go places. A multi-state contest. Message and data rates, of course, apply.
Here's another great crime story from the NBA. Reggie Harding, the 7'1" center of the Detroit Pistons, decided to put a mask on and hold up a liquor store. The proprietor knew him because they grew up together.
Oh, God.
Reggie, what are you doing in my store?
I mean, could you stand out more?
No, these are huge, men.
You could not stand out more. Where are you going to go? I'm going to go to the one place where I know the guy, too. Some people are not meant to be criminals. They're just not meant to.
Okay, and one last report from the wormhole. 1965, the Warriors are picking 4 and 5. Or essentially 1 and 2 because the first three picks were territorial picks, which they couldn't get. The fourth pick was Fred Hetzel. The fifth pick was Rick Barry.
Good job on that
fifth pick. So close.
Good job on that fifth pick. I think about...
To get him in that order, though, what are the odds?
I was trying to explain to somebody what Rick would have meant in the modern NBA, like what he would have been, his comparison point. And it's hard to find the comparison point because he was ridiculous. Absolutely ball in his hands, controlling a basketball game, a point small forward kind of level ridiculous. They just don't. Rick Barry with a 3-point line.
Ooh.
What's that career look like?
Is it, I don't know if he's quite this good of a point guard. He's a pretty good passer, but is it a little Luka-ish? I don't know. You're the expert, right?
Odd comp, but I think he'd be kind of a James Harden type.
Yeah.
One, he'd figure out a way to go to the line a lot.
Yes, right? And to score at a ridiculous rate.
And he would be smart enough that he would be willing to draw foul after foul because he'd happily go to the line 22 times a game. It's a loose comp, but I don't know if there's anybody else in the modern game.
And shoot underhanded, by the way.
Yeah.
The granny shot. Someone was making fun of the granny shot the other day to me. Making fun of the granny... Ben Simmons should be working on the granny shot tonight. He should have it with him in the bag, ready to go tonight. That is how – I don't care how much more – like, I can't do that. I'll be embarrassed. Be embarrassed by what your free throw percentage is.
This is the thing that
looks.
It's never made sense to me. The notion that you'd be more embarrassed by making your free throws in a way that some dude said wasn't cool – than you are by missing all of your free throws in critical playoff situations. It's so insane. I don't know how to even process that. It's not like shooting a granny free throw is taking your pants off and you know, running around the court with the basketball between your legs. Like, I don't understand, why is it so embarrassing to make shots?
One of the criticisms that I would used to hear about people who didn't like the NBA, and instead of talking about basketball, what they really didn't want to talk about was liking a black guy being successful.
Yeah.
You would hear often, like, the reason why I don't like the NBA is because in the NBA, a guy would rather look good losing than have a bad night winning. And I always felt like there was a level of racist trope attached to that.
And there was.
And there certainly was. I think so. I think there definitely was. The player who most enforces that stereotype is the guy who won't take the granny shot over his own 35.3 throw shooting percentage.
I recall saying the same thing about Dwight Howard. You were the MVP. You know, you were the defensive player of the year and a force on offense, but you never learned to shoot free throws and you never tried to do it the way, which, by the way, all you got to do is call Rick. He'll come teach you.
There are two Ricks to call for free throw help. Rick Barry and Rick Mount. Rick Mount has a absolute factory in the state of Indiana on how to shoot a free throw. He went to Purdue. And if I needed to teach my son how to shoot a free throw, I'd send him to Rick Mount free throw shooting camp. The man has a free throw shooting camp. What else are we teaching? Nothing. Free throws. That's all it is.
Rick Barry's worst year of shooting free throws, his rookie year, 86%.
Yeah.
It's his worst year.
Yeah.
And in almost every other year, he was at minimum 90.
He was a 90% career free throw shooter in the NBA.
Yeah. And you know that it pisses him off that he can't say 90% career.
Yes. He has to say in the NBA.
Right.
Well, the thing that there is some sort of mental block, and a lot of players have had this, because Shaq had it. They used to ask him, have you thought about shooting underhand? He says, man, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
There's a level of embarrassment that, while it might be, you know, mockable to us, that's a place they were not crossing. I mean,
it's just weird.
Will Chamberlain went to the underhand, didn't have the success he thought he should have, and went back to sort of this weird sort of one-handed sideways throw. You know, it had, you know, Joakim Noah's spin on it with none of the grace.
I was going to say Joakim called that the tornado.
Yeah, nobody's going to do that ever again. No one is ever going to say, I'm shooting underhand.
I hope somebody does. Someone might. It would take a very special guy, though.
At the very least, because now Rick Barry is largely, you know.
Forgotten?
Well, not forgotten, but he's in black and white film, and nobody wants to watch black and white film.
It's been 50 years since he played basketball.
Yeah.
Would a WNBA player ever do it?
I shouldn't say definitively that one doesn't already, because I don't know that. But that's a great question.
Because it feels like the reason why I can't do it is because it's called a granny shot. And the minute I do it, you're going to say granny, which is the least masculine word that you can describe me with. So maybe. I just won't do that.
Maybe. Also, I do feel like, you know, the WNBA, just by the nature of their existence, are probably less self-conscious about things like that than NBA players are. So I wouldn't be surprised if there are WNBA players who do that. We got a WNBA expert in the house. What's going on here? Who knows?
I don't know that there's anybody who shoots underhand, but I think it's just as likely that there are fewer players in that league that need help of that level shooting free throws, because it is a league where, because you play closer to the ground, you can have fewer shooting flaws comparable to other players.
Well, and we've seen time and time again how the guy with the biggest free throw shooting problem might have the biggest hands in the city that night.
Right. That's a problem, which, again, that problem goes away with the underhand free throw. I don't get it.
Is there a player in any of the respected leagues
around
the world? Canyon Barry does it.
Canyon does it, yeah.
What does he shoot?
That's a good question. I think he's in the G League, so I can check that.
Is he in the G League, or is he about to be like the Team USA three-ball guy?
I believe he was in the G League recently, if not just now. But I'm going to try to figure this out.
One of Rick Barry's kids is on the three-man basketball team that's going to be the first part of the three-man basketball is going to be in the Olympics this year.
Yeah, that could be him. He has
shoots
been...
88, shoots 85%.
Well, Rick probably won't even let him come home for dinner at 85%.
Well, he's not playing a ton, but this season in the G League, he was 21 for 21 from the free throw line.
Got to learn how to get to the line, young man.
I mean, that's, you know, 14 games, three starts, 21 for 21 from the line. Pretty good.
As a proud Iowa Wolf.
That's right, the Iowa Wolves. I don't know if he's playing in the 3-on-3. Do we have the rosters for that?
We don't, and we probably don't need them tonight.
Yeah, we probably don't.
Or really any other night if you want to get down to it.
Oh, no.
Did you know that the Giants just swept a 4-game series against a really bad team? And here comes another team called the Phillies. And we got Johnny Cueto on the bump tonight. He is 4-3 with a 4.0 ERA, and the Giants have nothing short of the single best record in all of baseball, the highest win total in all of baseball. They're 44-25. 22 wins on the road, 22 wins at home. They played more road games already than home games, so that schedule is going to swing back to them nicely in the pendulum of schedules at one point in time. And I know that a lot of people are upset that when they're looking at you know what they're going to do this Father's Day, got some people coming over, want to watch a little baseball, it's going to be easy to see on TV. This is not the weekend where the Giants are just going to be easy to see on TV, unless you're already a Peacock person. Peacock is hijacking the Giants TV feed this weekend, and not only do you have to go there to watch it, but they're also like pushing a few of their own broadcasters into the broadcast booth of the Giants. Like John Kruk, I believe, is going to be doing
he'll be there, yes,
some games. And I don't know who else it was, because I saw John Kruk's name and I thought, well, there's a guy that I used to really like. I like John Kruk. I think he's kind of a funny, goofy, happy baseball person. Then I thought of the Bay Area, and I thought, I don't think John Kruk's going to play very well with Giants fans.
Jimmy Rollins, the other guy.
Jimmy will play well, I think.
Kruko, Rollins, Kruk. And as Grandy pointed out, we got a Kruk and a Kruk.
A Kruk and a Kruk. Not bad.
Actually, I've heard Kruk. He's pretty good. I think he
he's
could play here.
I hope he does, because I like him. I just think he'd be a little bit too like, aw shucks, isn't this fun?
No.
He's pretty clever. He's funny, but he's pretty clever.
He's clever, and his years in Philadelphia gave him a bit of an edge that you wouldn't have found if he'd played his entire career in Kansas City.
Rollins is an Oakland guy, isn't he?
Alameda.
There we go.
Get to know your Alameda County athletes.
That's right.
Jimmy Rollins, everybody. Write that down. By the way, let's check Klay Thompson back on the boat. He did have something serious to talk about. He talked about his Achilles recovery.
When you're playing again, I plan on hopefully early next season. I mean, the Achilles is like a 12-month recovery phase. So I also have to factor in my left knee, and I don't want to come back and be half myself. You know what I'm saying? And recovery is going, though. It's slow. The Achilles is tedious. Man, it's lit out today.
He just can't dwell in that for very long before he gets back to living his best life.
Don't want
to
talk about just rehabbing. It's lit.
It's lit today.
Pull up.
Pull up to Angel Island.
So
he's probably gone by now, folks.
He's probably gone by now. Although it is a very warm, still very beautiful day. If it's
probably still worth pulling up, you know?
If it's warm in the city, that means it's basically hot as an oven in other places in the Bay Area.
My home is a heat box.
I thought, did I see like 104 in Santa Rosa a couple days ago?
Oh, yeah.
Like a new record ever?
Oh, it's been hundreds in the Napa, Sonoma, Santa Rosa, Petaluma area.
The Yountville, St. Helena, Calistoga corridor. Easy in the hundreds.
Yeah. That's just too hot. That's officially too hot.
They get it real bad in like the Far East Bay, too. You know, the Walnut Creeks and Concords are just getting blasted right now.
Yeah. Well, beyond that, it gets, I mean, like when you're talking about Brentwood, you're basically in a suburb
115.
Of hell.
You might as well be in Arizona.
Yeah. Stay cool. At least the A's get the reasonable climate of the East Coast this weekend. Probably not as hot as here. The A's are very hot right now. They're in first place. like every division leader in the American League, they're sitting on 43 wins. It's 43 across the board for the A's, the White Sox, and the Rays in the American League.
Hey.
Caprillion goes tonight. He's 3-1. Been a real nice story since being added to the year. A 2.51 ERA. Oakland 11-2 in the month of June. Matt Olson already hit a home run tonight. Where are we up? This game started about an hour and a half ago.
Two all.
2-2 A's and Yankees. They're going to be in the Bronx over Father's Day weekend. And, of course, Father's Day weekend is going to wrap up at some point in time.
Is it?
Well, with the U.S. Open.
Ah, okay.
Excuse me. The U.S. Open always ends on Sunday at Father's Day. Do we have a Phil Mickelson update? My computer, by the way, ran out of gas today, so I needed
I will
charge.
Look right
I'll
now.
Give you a leaderboard update here.
Yeah. Is it +3 the cut line? And Phil was at, I believe, +3 the last time
he's gonna
we looked.
He's going to be out, it looks like. He had a rough day, it seems. I don't have the leaderboard. That's a headline. Phil Mickelson's rough day is a headline. I don't think that's a good sign.
That could have been yesterday.
It could have been
yeah.
the headline. Right now...
Mickelson is still +3 right now.
Yeah. So, yeah, the cut line is still 3. He's still 3.
He's hanging in there, hanging by a thread. He's still only about halfway through, too. He's on 11.
It'll be a nail biter.
It's going to be touch and go. He's -1 for the day, though, so much better than yesterday.
I just know that a bunch of books are going to be really pissed.
If he makes the cut?
Yeah.
Look,
he's a ways off regardless. We got some heavy leaders, but not leaders that anyone has ever cared about. Richard Bland and Russell Henley, for the record. You know,
who?
When I have that thought about golf, what do? I text Butcher Boy. Of course I text Butcher Boy. He's the only person I know who cares that much about golf. His response to me about Russell Henley yesterday was, journeyman, he'll fade. So we'll see. But this is 3 down. Is a bit of a who's who. 1 and 2 is a bit of a who's that.
John Rahm is only 2 strokes back.
Right. Yeah. Like I said, below Bland and Henley, and isn't Richard Bland a phenomenal name for a golfer we haven't heard of? Oosthuizen, Watson, Rahm, Wolf, Schauffele, like a lot of guys you know, Cabrera Bello. But Bland and Henley still on top.
Exciting times at Torrey Pines.
I tried.
Please turn your cell phones down.
leave Phil in peace.
I think Phil, when he's teeing off, he'll be in relative peace. He'll be among the first, that 7 o'clock tee time that they enjoy so much.
Yeah.
By the way, I hate to send anyone to the internet during the show. Is Gerrit Cole going to pitch against the A's this weekend? Because the last time Gerrit Cole went out to pitch, he was none too happy and said this.
It's so hard to grip the ball. For Pete's sake, it's part of the reason why almost every player on the...
By the way, when you hear in 2021, for Pete's sake, you just got to kind of appreciate
it.
Yeah, really. Gosh darn it.
It's so hard to grip the ball. For Pete's sake, it's part of the reason why almost every player on the field has something, regardless if they're a pitcher or not, help them control the ball. I think that... I don't have a solution, but again, we are aligned in a lot of areas with the commissioner's office on this. And please just talk to us. Please just work with us. I know you have the hammer here, but you know, we've been living in a gray area for so long. I would just hate to see players get hurt. I would hate to see balls start flying at people's heads. I had a really tough time gripping the baseball tonight, especially early when it was windy. So I don't really care to be inflammatory here, Joel. I'm just going to leave it at that.
There you go. I don't think he's scheduled to go against
Domingo,
the A's.
Herman and Jordan Montgomery.
But the funnier Gerrit Cole quote was when he described getting a guy out with, I believe it was a 97 mile an hour sinker. And the question that came, he just describes it as a matter of fact. And the questioner immediate response was, how? That was it. That was the entire question. What? And he started laughing.
How did you throw a 97 mile an hour sinker?
How does a ball sink when it's moving that quickly is a phenomenal question.
Yeah. I mean,
the answer is
spider tack.
Yeah. I was going to say spin rate, but yeah, same idea. He is not pitching, though, so you don't have to worry about his balls flying at your head if you're the Oakland A's.
The way that I listen to that, I hear a guy saying, please talk to us. Like, come and help us. Like, this should not be an adversarial drawing lines in the sand that will not be crossed. Like, we are all in business together. Why are we doing business against each other's best business practices?
You watched the obnoxious Trevor Bauer troll job with the ball sticking to his hand, right?
Yes.
So, am I the only one who thinks he did exactly the opposite of what he was trying to do? Because the whole point of that was, you won't let me use spider tack, but look, rosin and sweat make the ball stick to my hand. Oh, do they? So, isn't that enough?
Right.
I think he's trying to piss people off at this point.
That's always what he's doing. But I think he's also trying to make... Think he's trying to make himself look good? Because that makes him look real stupid, is what I would say.
I think he's been picking fights on this subject for 2.5 years, yeah. And I don't think he's stopping now.
You might be right. It's just, when he says that, it's like, so why do you need anything other than rosin, which you can still have? The ball's stuck to your palm. That's not enough to get a grip on it? What are we talking about here?
Because he's talking about the difference between Trevor Bauer going 9-6 in Cincinnati.
That's right.
And Trevor Bauer winning 18 games with the Dodgers.
But I think he just exposed himself that spider tack is very different and clearly providing an unfair advantage as opposed to rosin, which gives you plenty of tack to grip a baseball.
It was one of the biggest stories of the entire week, right?
Yeah.
It was certainly all over the show in the early portion of the week. We started concentrating on the playoffs and actual baseball happening. It's going to be really interesting come Monday, fellas. How different does Major League Baseball look on Monday night? Will we have part of our highlight package, a sequence of home plate umpires sauntering up to the pitcher's mound to basically stop and frisk major league pitchers who might have sticky substances on them? I mean, are we going to get hands against the walls, boys, for your starting lineup around Major League Baseball come Monday?
This is a moment in which, no matter what the crew rotation is, Joe West has to be home plate.
That's a great call.
The only guy, I looked this up, the only umpire who can actually do that is the crew chief. So it doesn't matter where he's at.
Yeah.
But I want him to see him lumbering out with all the gear on.
Right.
You know, sweating like Indonesia because it's 93 with 93% humidity. That's got to happen.
Yes. And I think Joe West is enough of a mensch to oblige you on that. Yeah.
I mean, the man who introduced the punishment of exchange your hat.
Yes. He'll be out there. What's funny is it'd be a lot easier to answer your question, Damon, if they'd given us any indication of how they intend to enforce this. But I don't know.
It's going to be performative.
So you'd imagine there's going to be a lot of umpires frisking pitchers.
So we are going to need Joe West.
This will be great.
It has a chance to be explosively stupid, which is always fun.
Is there any doubt that somebody throws a punch at Angel Hernandez before the end of the week?
They won't throw a punch at him, but they'll call him things that, frankly, he's heard before. It will be the old line about they called him everything but a child of God.
So do you think there might be like the next guy who gets plunked routinely is the home plate umpire?
Oh, man.
You might see one of those. The catcher says he got crossed up.
Yeah.
When he had his glove actually pointed at the ground.
Oh, man.
Sitting on his mitt. I was crossed up. I didn't think we were going to be pitching here. Turns out we were.
Boy, the target was lower right corner. I don't know how it hit you in the face mask.
Yeah. Right in the forehead.
Twice.
You're wondering why people don't want to sign up to be umpires anymore.
That's one of those things that gets said a lot about all officials. Was there, in the 60s, was there like a line to get crapped on as a professional official?
Here's the thing. You didn't get crapped on. You're volunteering to come out and be the home plate umpire for a little league team was met with baked goods and happiness.
Well, okay. I'm sure there was one person at the kids' level that's different. But at the professional level, I mean.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. See, I wasn't talking about that. I was talking about little league. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
I will speak at least from a partial vantage point of expertise here. Because I refereed high school and college basketball.
Oh, okay.
I mean, some lower level college basketball, never Division I. There's an ego drive and a pride in doing something that's really hard to do well.
Okay.
And that's the lure. is that when you go walk on the floor and you hear people going, oh, we won't get screwed tonight. That's what drives, I think, most officials in the early going. Once you get to the pros, I mean, now there's money, first class travel, and
yeah.
You know, it's a nice gig,
right?
And yeah, you do get crapped on, but you develop a thick enough skin for it.
Go home if and somebody, wipe your tears with a dollar bill.
Well, not even. It's just if somebody curses you out and you can handle that, you know, and not ruin the game by losing your temper. That's an ego
yeah.
stroke.
There's a superiority in that, yeah.
It's not even a superiority. It's a, there aren't very many people who can do that, and I just saved a basketball game from the people who were playing it.
Yeah.
Well, that, and I think you also got a lot of frustrated athletes who end up doing it and saying, you know, I wasn't really able to contribute very well as a player, but as an official, I'm still deeply involved in the game. I'm a very important piece of the game, and it keeps me connected to the sport that I love. I mean, any adult in amateur or low-level college sports is basically there for the labor of love that it is to them.
Totally.
There is no reward that makes you famous or happier. You're basically saying, these are the headaches I prefer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and you were also thinking of Leon Wood as Haywood Workman.
Okay.
I think Workman played a little bit. Leon Wood played some more. He was a very good player at Fullerton State.
Interesting.
And now he's a mediocre official in the NBA.
But he's been doing it a long time.
He's been doing it a long time and almost never makes the playoff roster. But, you know, that's it. It's just, you know, knowing that you can do something that's really hard and do it better than everybody else in the building and not have your tires slashed at the end of the night.
Yeah.
So
that's a win.
Why'd you get out?
My wife screwed up and had a baby.
Okay.
That is messed up.
In fact, I was heading up to
our most Humboldt. Officials in the world childless?
No, they're dateless.
I imagine the grind of working your way up the officiating ladder is even worse than working your way up the professional athlete ladder.
It can't be glamorous.
But, no, it's definitely not. I mean, there was a night I was driving up to Humboldt for a state playoff game.
Mm.
And I got there, and my wife calls me and says, I think my water broke.
And you're 4 hours away?
And I'm 4.5 hours away. I said, well, I'll get there as soon as I can.
So he finished the doubleheader.
No, I actually called my supervisor. He said, we've got somebody up there who can do it. Go ahead, go
there
home.
There you go. Honey, I got to cup check both of these teams before I turn around and come on.
But no,
home.
She screwed me out of a $75 check. I was pissed.
I volunteered to be a league home plate umpire for ESPN's softball league.
Oh, boy.
And you never met a bigger group of jackasses who all thought that they invented the sport. It's the only time I've ever told anyone to their face, double barrel middle finger, F you, officiate your own game. I walked off. I lasted about 3 innings before I started mother you-know-whatting. It was like ESPN janitorial against ESPN the magazine. That's how they broke it all up. We got to take a real quick break. When we come on back, forget about the cup check. We will have a sound check, and we will tell you what's at stake this weekend here on Damon Ratto and Kolsky, brought to you by Fremont Bank, full-service banking, no compromises.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Let me tell you what's at stake for the San Francisco Giants. What's at stake? Brought to you by Harris Ranch Beef. You got the Phillies in town. Cheesesteaks aside, San Francisco, a baseball best, 44-25. They've got a 2.5-game lead over the Doyers in the West. We got the what dramatic. Did you see the home field celebration, Padre, two home run things? That looked fun place to be last night. Anyways, Padres are still chasing you. We know the Dodgers are chasing you. Giants are setting the pace with 44 wins, best in all of baseball. They haven't dropped a series since May 23rd. Cueto, Alex Wood, and Sunday likely to be a bullpen game.
And the last one worked so well.
Well, yeah. It actually did.
It did.
yeah.
Not for the reasons intended.
No.
Unfortunately, the Diamondbacks are no longer involved in any of these outcomes.
No, they're hosting the Dodgers for three. Big series there.
Oh, they are involved in that. So better beat the Phillies. Yeah. There's What's at Stake, brought to you by Harris Ranch Beef. Legendary beef, legendary quality. Shop at Harris Ranch Beef. Now, what would it sound like if we took an entire week, a great week of radio, probably an oversell. What if we took the entire week and squeezed it into 3 minutes for a sound check? Let's find out. I want him holding the can up to one ear.
Upside down.
Like pretty much Dionne Warwick was doing
but
in the
finger
We Are
in the Other
World
ear, right?
video. In the, yeah, absolutely. Plugging the other ear so you stay on key and on note. And just with both eyes closed as earnestly. And what I hope is that they place the microphone a little bit above his lips so he's like up into the mic. Broadway is dark tonight. That's what I pray for.
Damon, the MVP of the playoffs is the Suns fan. Suns in four, that's the guy.
Paul George is better with the ball in his hands. Paul George is a more consistent offensive creator. Paul George is a better actual, like, natural shooter than Kawhi. Now, again, Kawhi hits that death mode and he's perfect as a shooter. Paul George is a beautiful jump shooter of the basketball in a way that Kawhi is not. And I actually think the successful future of the Clippers is convincing Kawhi Leonard to be Batman to Paul George's Superman.
I don't know what kind of days that or how long their days are out in Sweden, but here in the United States, we actually have 24-hour days. so, you know, right now, let's just say we have the entire, because it takes a team to do this. We got our speed golf squad on the lookout right now, hunting down courses, potentially in the San Francisco Bay Area, and I say we go back and get this thing.
Aha! It's spin rates because the averages are down. When in fact, they've spent most of the last 20 years explaining to us that batting average doesn't matter anyway. You know, they literally talk out of all 12 sides of their mouth at once.
Maybe you're just adverse to water. They've got water outside of their right field park, too. Maybe that's just it.
Yeah, I mean, I never did swim well.
So he went around telling everybody in Clintonville, Ohio, my pizza's great. You can't have it. And it worked. It worked. The guy is like an overnight success. It's called The Wizard of Zah. His name is Spencer Saylor. He's 27 years old, and he says that he's been stirring sauces since he was 3 years old. Pizza's in his blood, and he, through his marketing, created a demand that didn't exist for a pizza that probably isn't that much better than any other pizza you've ever had. Good for him, right? I mean, good for that guy.
No, he should be jailed.
What? What we don't want is this for Evan to be his last day because
exactly.
Ange dropped something he shouldn't. I'm confident in him. Ange in Oakland, how are you, buddy?
Oh, man, y'all make my heart warm amongst other things talking about me like that.
No, here, I need you to spend company money to ship me candy on the company dime to the company's offices.
Wouldn't you?
How is that not fraud?
I'm going to have to call her and find out here. Well, that's it. That's all the time we have. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the Father's Day. Enjoy all the sports. Enjoy the playoff games. We might have We got one game seven for sure. We might have three of them. Enjoy. Thanks to David Locke for joining us. Thanks to Joe DeCamera. Evan, great job filling in for Lucas this last couple days. You're allowed back on Monday for sure. Grandy Maldonado, we're going to see you Monday. You've got the job, unfortunately, for you. Thank you so much for tuning in. Have a great weekend. For Ray and Matt, I'm Damon. Stick around. Final word coming up next year on 95.7 The Game. In the meantime, remember, sports don't build character. They reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.